You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, well, in the chat room at cfcc.org, the stars of last hour's broadcast are in the chat room now. Winston Smith and Courtney from Alabama are both off the radio and in the chat room now. So if you want to share a comment with them on their discussion or continue the discussion online, go to cfcc.org or just go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and link over to our chat room. Well, that was an interesting and a unique topic, one that we don't cover enough, and it is important because it is surely something that affects all of us, man and woman alike. And as Sam Bushman put it on his show, and I was reminded about this from regular Liberty Roundtable listener, Not Your Average Housewife, who is one of our stalwarts as well and a mainstay in the chat room, and she said while listening to Sam discuss this topic in a recent show, he said, the role between man and woman should not be adversarial, but rather complementary. And certainly that is the way God designed it to be. But, you know, for the last 50 or 60 years, we have had a war being waged against Christianity and a war being waged against family, particularly our families. And the results have been predictable. You know, certainly women should not have to work, nor is that their proper role. That's not what they were designed to do. But with the war being waged on families now and the cost of living being what it is, and if you want to keep your family safe from the joys of diversity, you have to move out to higher priced neighborhoods and go to private schools. And so now to live a decent life, you truly, and especially if you're talking a private school option for a couple of kids, you really need to be making $100,000 a year at least. And certainly I don't have a job that pays that. And, if you're not going to be able to homeschool, which we are going to do, you're going to have both partners, the husband and the wife working. And that is a crime against women, as far as I'm concerned, that be the case, because they have natural talents and attributes that we don't have. And certainly men as leaders and as the head of households have natural abilities and attributes, and men should lead, and women play an indispensable supportive role, and the children learn from watching both parents in a healthy relationship doing what they were designed to do. But nevertheless, it was an interesting topic, and one that I hope we will be able to continue on the political cesspool with Winston and Courtney as time goes on. But if you put the political cesspool into a blender, you know, one of the secrets to our success has been that we talk about these issues. We talk about real life problems that we all face. And of course, we talk about some of our signature issues that we all know, racial realities, Jewish power and influence. And I think we have some excellent guests on as well. And one of the most colorful guests that we've ever had on the show is Brother Nathaniel Kapner. He is a Jewish convert to Orthodox Christianity. And one of the most, as I said, colorful guests ever to be featured on our show. Well, he has written the prescription for fixing America's economy, elections, media, and culture in just 3 minutes. And we're going to listen to his prescription right now.
America's in big trouble, but we can't fix it until we pinpoint the problems. The economy. It's tanked and not getting any better. Wall Street, Jewish finance capital, has shipped our manufacturing jobs to China and our high-tech jobs to India. Our middle class is sunk. Fix. Slap a tariff on China-made products and lower business tax rates here. This stops Jewish Wall Street's treason and our jobs come back home. Elections. Democracy is awarded to the highest bidder, and the Jews own both parties. Republicans kiss the arse of Sheldon Adelson, and Democrats suck up to AIPAC. Even little Rand grovels to the Jews. Fix. Register AIPAC as a foreign government agent and ban their campaign contributions. Then push Congress to pass the We the People Amendment that caps campaign spending to persons only, bans corporations from buying elections. Under the Act, rights under the Constitution belong to people, not PACs and corporations. Media. Jews own CBS, NBC, ABC, and CNN. They decide who will live and who will die. They ignored Ron Paul and smeared Pat Buchanan. This time, your choice, I mean their choice, will be Hillary Bush and Jeb Clinton. Fix. Restrict electioneering to a publicly funded national media forum, giving all candidates equal time. This stops Jewish bias and democracy comes back home. Money. Jewish bankers own the money-creating franchise called the Federal Reserve. They loan money to the government and gouge us with interest. Fix. Put the power of issuing money back into the hands of government as mandated by our Constitution. This stops the Jewish banking cabal and our sovereignty is restored. Culture. The Supreme Court, with four Jews favoring same-sex unions, is about to redefine marriage. This results in a polarized country and weakens moral resolve. Fix. Restrict the percentage of representation. Jews make up less than 2% of the population, yet have 45% representation on our highest bench. A reset would trash them all save one. Sotomayor could stay until we limit judicial terms of office. America's in trouble and everyone knows it. My fix is in. Make it happen, and we've got a fighting chance.
You got to love Brother Nathaniel. I love Brother Nathaniel. And it was one of Bill Roland's favorite guests. God bless Bill Roland. And every time Bill could have a guest on, he'd ask if we would call Brother Nathaniel. And, you know, this is a guy born into a Jewish family, converted to Orthodox Christianity, and he's out there doing great work. Nick Griffin, another one of our guests in the past, who was a former elected member of European Parliament, wrote an article that we're going to feature at thepoliticalcesspool.org next week entitled "Why I Don't Pray for Israel." And he lists the reasons why, other than praying for Jews to convert to Christianity, which he is sure to put in there, and he did. But he said, you know, we've got to be reasonable. You know, the people who are our detractors are not reasonable. But we've got to be reasonable. Yes, there is an indisputable, I mean, this isn't even an issue. It's unquestionable. One shouldn't even be able to argue the point because it's so readily apparent. There is obviously a Jewish cabal at the head of our major institutions that are working against the interest of Christians and European Americans and Europeans. Okay, well, that's not to say that all Jews are a part of this. And Brother Nathaniel's out there doing great work. And this is something that Nick Griffin is sure to remind us of in his piece, "Why I Don't Pray for Israel," which is something everybody should read. But listen, that was a great clip from Brother Nathaniel. This is how you clean up America in less than 3 minutes, and you just rein in those who have usurped these position of powers. And, you know, again, and this goes back to something we talked about in the first hour. It's hate speech to even mention this. You know, the Jews certainly brag about their total domination of all of the Hollywood movie studios. And certainly no conservative would say what's coming out of Hollywood is in any way beneficial to American society. But they leave out the most important part of the equation. When we talk about this, and if you can't take a dissenting point of view, if you can't objectively criticize people without being called an anti-Semite or a racist, then you have no freedom. And we're not going to be cowed by those names, and we say that every show. You're listening to The Political Cesspool, and when we come back, Dr. Kevin McDonald live on this broadcast. Stay tuned.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have quite possibly saved the best for last tonight. That's saying a lot because it's been a good show with a lot of different facets. But it is always my esteemed honor to welcome to the broadcast one of my very favorite people in the world. And I don't say that just to say it. This is a man who, in addition to his groundbreaking and indispensable work, is just an all-around good guy. And I have the opportunity to visit with Kevin MacDonald in person at least once a year, it seems, and I'm always the better for it. And he is certainly our guest this evening, beginning right now. Kevin MacDonald, PhD, a former professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, is the author of several books, including The Culture of Critique and Cultural Insurrections. He is the editor of the Occidental Quarterly magazine and administers the incredible website, The Occidental Observer. .net, so be sure to check it out. Well, Kevin is fresh back home from a trip to Stockholm, Sweden, where he spoke on the psychological mechanisms of white dispossession. Let's break that down. But first of all, Dr. MacDonald, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here, James. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
I appreciate you saying that, my friend, very much so. Well, tell us, Stockholm, what were you there for?
Well, there was a conference put together by the Party of the Swedes, which is a patriotic nationalist party. They believe that there should be a biological ethnic basis for being Swedish, so that puts them right now on they don't have any they may have some local offices, but they're still on the fringe. Of course, they are more, anti-immigration and, thinking in terms of the ethnic basis of being Swedish than the Sweden Democrats, for example.
Well, and you were there as their guest at this conference that they were hosting, and I know that it was very well attended and had any number of prominent speakers, including people that our audience may be familiar with, Greg Johnson of Countercurrents, Dr. Greg Johnson, Jonas DeGeer, who, as I mentioned to you in an email, Kevin, a few days ago, I had been a guest on his show in Sweden, which is becoming wildly popular. it's an internet radio program, but just has a very sizable audience, and was a guest again just this week. And I know that he was one of the speakers there as well. Mark Weber of the Institute of Historical Review was there. So you had any number of intellectual heavyweights, and you were there to talk about the psychological mechanisms of white dispossession. Kind of break that down for us in layman's terms.
Well, it's a long story in a way. I start out talking about the fact that the moral the moral high ground has been taken over by these hostile elites, which I talk about in the Culture Critique and so on, and I talk about the incentive structure that everything that right now it's in your individual self interest to sort of go along with the system and sell out your people and do whatever you can to help yourself by becoming part of the establishment. But then I talked about some of the mechanisms, I think, from an evolutionary point of view, that I see Northern Europeans as particularly prone to this sort of extreme altruism. When I was in Sweden, there's a lot of talk about this. You had politicians saying that they want to have as many Africans as want to come to Sweden should be able to come. There's a billion Africans now. They've already said that everybody from Syria can come to Sweden. Because they have a civil war there, so all Syrians are eligible to come to Sweden. And they just take in all these people. They have huge housing crisis, and yet they bring in all these people, so they're actually thinking of commandeering people's vacation homes because they need more housing for immigrants. And there's no reason for it in terms of employment or economic thing. It's entirely humanitarian. All based on the idea that they're going to be a humanitarian superpower, and they're going to be just the best people in the world, this moral paradigm. And so I think we really have to understand that psychology over there. I don't think that they're all like that. I mean, a lot of them are self-interested. They actually profit off this in various ways. But there is a sort of moral consensus that is extreme over there, and they simply won't talk about any problems with immigration. You can't talk about crime. You can't talk about the housing crisis. You can't talk about the fact that these people are totally different, that they're, some of them are jihadists and so on. You can't talk about any of that stuff. And so they have a moral sense that's almost stifling and a strong sense of conformity. And so, I'm a psychologist. I'm trying to explain this, and I do think that there's something about Northern Europeans that they require this moral consensus. That historically, the people of Northern Europe have not valued kinship as much as they have moral integrity and people's reputation. And so, right now, given that this immigration multiculturalism is so entrenched in the media, it's become a sort of moral imperative. And so if you want to be a good Swedish person, you subscribe to it. And if you don't, you're an evil person. You're a Nazi. And, you are ostracized. You will lose your job. And people will think, you will not think twice about that. They're happy to have people suffer for that reason. And so it's a very stifling sense of moral righteousness that has possessed them, and it's sad to see it because they're I went to Stockholm and you see quite a few more non-whites there. You see gypsies begging, you see Muslims all over the place, especially in the subways. You go to certain areas, I suppose that the Muslims are in certain areas, these non-whites that tend to congregate in certain areas, but the government now has a program to bring these immigrants to every place in Sweden. So even small towns in the north are going to get their dose of immigrants. And, they're all the blessings of diversity. So it's just an absolute madness over there. And I just hope we can have some influence. I think that these people are probably more extreme than let's say in America, but we certainly have quite a few people like that here who would regard you as a moral pariah. I mean, I have had that experience, and I'm sure you have, where if you oppose immigration, if you think that white people have interests, you are seen as not just intellectually wrong, but a moral pariah. You are evil. And so I'm trying to understand that from a psychological point of view. I think it has something to do with evolution in the North, with individualism, with lack of interest in so much in kinship and so on, lack of ethnocentrism. Those are the things that I see at work here. And it's a travesty. It's just a disaster to see it unfold there.
Kevin, you know, you covered so much and so many important aspects of this crisis, this identity crisis that we face, whether or not we're going to choose as a unique ethnic group, as a unique race to survive. And you coined the term, as far as I'm concerned, psychological altruism. And by the way, Kevin wrote an incredible piece that he featured at his website, the Occidental Observer, .net. Entitled "What's Wrong with the Swedes and Other White People," and we reposted that at our website along with the video of Dr. McDonald's full lecture that he presented in Stockholm. So that can be found at his website or ours, and of course the lecture, the video of that is on YouTube as well. But psychological altruism, let's break that down also for the people. Of course, pathological altruism. Excuse me. Right. Pathological altruism is what I meant to say. That's what I thought I was saying. But pathological, obviously, the root of that is pathology, which points towards a disease, and altruism, which means, of course, the need to do good, the desire to do good, to be kind, to be benevolent. How does being good and kind become a pathology? We're going to cover that when we come back with our esteemed guest, Dr. Kevin McDonald, right after this.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We only have one more segment with our esteemed guest, Dr. Kevin McDonald, tonight, so we're going to have to make haste. And we have a caller on the line, and we're going to try to take a couple of questions from the online chat room, which is busting at the seams tonight with people tuned in to hear Dr. McDonald. But before the break, we're discussing pathological altruism. And so, Kevin, my question for you would be this, then. Looking at this from an evolutionary perspective, you know, and you wrote this at your website as well, going back to as recently as the early 1900s, the entire world, save a few random enclaves, were completely under the control of European authorities, most of them European and Christian authorities, which is interesting. And that was within, you know, the last 100 years or just a little bit more than 100 years ago. So with regard to psychological altruism, was this an affliction that somehow had been latent up until the last century, or was this something that has always been there? And, you know, just recently the cultural elites found a way to exploit this disease that some whites have.
Yeah, that's really the big question. And this is a very complex area, but my theory is that these tendencies were latent, and that for centuries, really, you had these European governments were dominated by these military elites, and they were really based on this Indo-European model, which is very different. And I didn't talk much about that, but you know, I should talk more about it. These people were not altruistic in the same way, and they were much more interested in kinship. They were very successful militarily, and they formed these basically organized European societies to be dominated by these military elites, and that really started collapsing in the 17th century. So in my talk, I talk about the Puritans, because that was really the first modern movement that deposed the aristocracy. They became, they started actually running the government in mid-17th century. And these trends then were magnified, especially in the 18th and 19th century. I talked about banning slavery, and I make it clear, I'm not in favor of slavery. But the point is that this movement to end slavery came from these lower status people who had been kept down really for eons. My belief is that these people are the remnants of the hunter-gatherer groups that dominated Europe for thousands of years, you know, after the Ice Age, but were then dominated by these other groups. And they started to come to the fore in the 17th century, and you started to see movements like the movement for the abolition of slavery, which really was a good example of this sort of moral community that I was talking about in Sweden, where if you opposed slavery, you were a good person for them, and if you were a slave owner and or approved of it, you were evil and ostracized and so on. And they in the propaganda that they used, they were always talking about, you know, the suffering of black people, and so there was a lot of empathy. And that's what we see now. I mean, what I'm trying to understand is the phenomenon now where we're constantly bombarded with moral messages. And I see it going back to the 17th century. I have a couple examples from the 19th century. If you think about the culture of critique, all those movements that I talk about there, those intellectual movements, all essentially were critiques of the moral basis of the West. You know, in other words, if you were opposed to the sort of leftist zeitgeist that was the main message of these intellectual movements, you were, you know, a bad person. You were evil. There was something wrong with the nuclear family. The Frankfurt School was always talking about that. Psychoanalysts had a strongly moral perspective. on what was wrong with the West. So all of these critiques have fundamentally been moral critiques. I see this beginning in the 17th century. If you look at the population journeys, you can see there's a biological decline, as we say, as you go north. Certain kinds of people are more common there. And these people, the hunter-gatherer societies are very egalitarian. And that's true around the world, but especially in Northern Europe, these societies are extremely egalitarian. And so, whereas, you know, for centuries, Europe was not at all egalitarian, you had these military elites, these people are extremely egalitarian. That's a big part of this. They don't want to have hierarchies. And you look at Puritan societies, much less social class differences. You're looking at the Quakers, all these religious groups, they came to be very important in America. If you think about the Civil War, you had the Puritan dominated North, and then you had the South, of a very different culture, stemming from quite separate parts of England, and much more prone towards strongly hierarchical society and so on.
Well, you know,
this has been playing out for centuries now, but I think it's very important to try to understand it.
Well, in an attempt to understand it, and certainly we have you on often to address these matters, one of our friends in the chat room has asked if you can write a book, Pathological Altruism for Dummies. but it is an important
book.
Well, we'll look forward to promoting it and getting it out to the people. But basically, I think, as someone else mentioned in the chat room, if you really want to break it down, pathological altruism, when your desire for charitable endeavors imperils your ability to survive. And I think that's what we're seeing here. And certainly it is something that only afflicts whites and has only afflicted whites within the last century, because as we mentioned a moment ago, up until the early part of the 20th century, this was a white in a Christian dominated world, and we had no qualms with what was best for our people. Certainly no other race wrings their hands thinking what they can do to benefit everybody but themselves. This is something that only whites do, and that only that whites have done only in recent decades. But we will remind you that Kevin's incredible article can be found at his website and ours, dealing with this matter, and his video presentation, the lecture he gave in Stockholm, must be watched by everyone tuned in tonight. And again, you can get that at Occidental Observer and the Political Cesspool. But we got a caller here, Kevin, that's been waiting patiently to get on with you. Pete in Iowa. Pete, you're on with Dr. Kevin McDonald.
Oh, yeah. Is McDonald still on?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Well, this is like a statement or kind of question, a little both, that I guess could be responded to by either of you guys. But it's, you know, about immigration, which, you know, the equivalent here is kind of, you know, the refugees on the southern border. And there are good arguments for immigration, like, you know, they're going to do jobs like in agriculture, but eventually that's all going to be automated. And the question is, what are these people going to be doing, you know? And it's the type of questions that no one's asking, and it feels like we could be headed into uncharted waters, like, you know, these we won't have there's too many people but not enough jobs, and, you know, because the people who aren't having jobs are of color, then, you know, we're going to start doing all these remediation programs like, you know, Bill de Blasio is doing. And it just seems like it could snowball. Eventually we'll have, in order to have integration, we're going to have neighborhood quotas, you know, or eminent domain into gated, you know, abolished gated communities.
Well, Pete, I see where you're going, and we're beginning to run short on time in this segment, so I want to toss it back to Kevin to give you a response. And I think basically what Pete's saying is, unless we get our pathological altruism under control, and I'm not talking about us, obviously, Dr. McDonald, or our audience, but so many whites, unless they get it under control, what does the end game look like if current trends persist indefinitely?
Right. If you're going to import labor, you know, like farm labor, that might be one thing. But there's no reason to make them citizens. I mean, that they can simply work and go back home. I think right now in America, and certainly in Sweden and other places, you can't oppose immigration for any reason. You can't say, well, it'll harm the economy, which it does, because it lowers wages. It just guts the labor market. It's bad for the ecology. We bring over 1 million people a year. Well, that's not an argument. Nothing is an argument, because diversity in and of itself, producing a non-white America, is what they want. And there's nothing that, in terms of practical problems, criminality, lack of education, whatever it is not going to be enough. So this is altruism on our part. And again, you can see it. I mean, how many times have you looked at it? If you look at the mainstream media, when they talk about immigration, they'll often bring in a sob story of some immigrant who, you know, has a much better life in America. Are you going to deport that person? It's really a matter of empathy. And so we're supposed to feel for these people. And of course, millions of Americans do. They want to think of themselves as a good person. And that's what I'm seeing in Sweden, and that's what I'm seeing going back to the end of the 18th century, with the move, the first one I deal with is the movement to end slavery. But you see it over and over again now. It's sort of dominating our culture. It is pathological altruism. We are killing ourselves by being so nice.
We will continue this conversation. I want to thank you for coming on tonight and shedding a little more light on the subject. You are an American hero, and I hope everybody supports you. Thank you, Pete, as well, for the call. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
What a show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I sit back. You will never know. Listen, I'm not looking for sympathy or anything like that. We have a great amount of support, and you sustain us, ladies and gentlemen, and without you, we wouldn't be here, and everybody knows that. But let me tell you something. It is difficult to be the host of this radio program, and not just for the reasons you may think of. The biggest reasons are it's just a lot of work that goes into it. It's a full-time job at volunteer pay, and you just look at how influential and how noteworthy this show has risen to become, and you deserve the entire credit for that, ladies and gentlemen, and our listening audience, those of you who support this work prayerfully and financially. But, you know, I probably put in about 15 hours worth of work in the last 2 days on the show, tending to website things. I've still got a ton of emails to respond to. It's just an impossible, never-ending battle to keep up with the correspondence, and I try to answer as many as I can, but please don't take offense if you don't get an email back. Just know that we read them all, we appreciate them all, we respect them all, and we love you for sending them, but we just time doesn't always permit a personal reply to each. But this show, the impact of this program, who knows how big it really is? I mean, we know how big it is based upon what we can measure, but it could be far greater than anything we have fathomed. And I'm very excited about that. And we've had a lot of moving parts tonight. And I say all that to say this. This show tonight, tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool, really, I think, brings it all together when trying to explain why our show draws truth tellers and those seeking the truth to it like a moth to a flame. It's because, you know, there's something very special here. And I think we have a good balance, our team between Keith and Winston, of course, our producers and our support network, top brass in Utah, yours truly, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who, by the way, he sprained a hammy. You know, Eddie runs about 20 miles a day or something, and he's on the mend. He was going to come in tonight, and he was a last-minute scratch. I mean, let me tell you this. He was a last-minute scratch. Up until early afternoon, Eddie was supposed to be in for tonight's third hour. He has a series he's been working on that he wants to present on the Political Cesspool, and we were going to begin that series tonight, and then he was a last-minute scratch, and in about 3 hours before the show started, I reached out to Kevin McDonald, and he came in on short notice. And how about that interview with Kevin McDonald? You know, a lot of moving parts tonight. I thought Winston and Courtney's conversation was very, very unique in the second hour. Keith, with his normal brilliance in the first half of the show, a couple of clips from Jared Taylor and Brother Nathaniel, respectively. Kevin McDonald, you know, tonight we've had Kevin on countless times over the years, and I thought tonight was as good as he has ever been, talking about pathological altruism. He just got back from Stockholm, where he addressed a prestigious forum, and he's just great. And by the way, speaking of the Swedes, I was on Swedish radio last week and had a great conversation with our friends over there, Jonas DeGeer and his co-host, Dan and Magnus, and I encourage you to check that out. Now, I want to leave you tonight with something a little more uplifting. But I will preface the uplifting message with something, you know, that we all obviously know to be true, and that is that the free-falling descent of American society and culture can be traced back to the anti-white and anti-Christian sentiments that began to take hold a few decades ago. Now, those who hate the founding stock and the traditional faith of the West can be found in the leadership positions throughout the spectrum of America's most powerful institutions. A few whites dare to publicly claim pride in themselves or their creator in this degenerate age, and that's something that we lament, but something that we fight to restore here on the Political Cesspool radio program. But it wasn't always this way. I've got a clip that I'm going to run on the website next week at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's a clip from the Apollo 8 mission. Now, if you're not familiar with this, the crew of Apollo 8, that was Bill Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman, as they orbited the Earth on the evening of December the 24th, 1968. We'd already lost a lot of ground by 68, but still America was certainly in far better shape in 68 than it is in 2015. Well, here you have these astronauts, Anders, Lovell, and Borman, in a live television broadcast beamed back to Earth from their orbit in space. Listen to what they said.
Earth, now approaching lunar sunrise. And for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness.
And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day.
God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you.
Absolutely incredible and emotional. And I've listened to that several times in advance of playing it. And every time, I mean, it just stirs something in my soul. That's right. While orbiting the Earth, these astronauts actually praised God on live television and read scripture from the Bible to their audience. Now, does anyone truly believe that we have, quote unquote, progressed since that time? And I say that the exact opposite is true, and it cannot be denied. It cannot be denied that the attacks against our people and Christianity have been a concerted effort. They would not let them do that now. You'll never see another all-white male Christian astronaut crew go up into orbit and praise God on television. Not the way things are going right now. Well, you know, we revere our past. We, you know, revere a lot of aspects about society that have been deemed by those who hate us to be taboo. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's just the way to go. And we have got a lot of good articles coming up next week on the website at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I would encourage you to make it upon one of your daily reads if it's not already there, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out. A lot of good stuff coming up on the website in the time between the conclusion of tonight's live broadcast and the beginning of what we're going to be doing on the radio next week. But, of course, there have been some good articles on the show's website this week, too, including, listen, I can give you no better reason to go to my website than this. My wife and I shared our ninth wedding anniversary on May the 5th. We were married on May the 5th, 2006. We had a great day on Tuesday celebrating our anniversary together with our children, and I've got pictures of our wedding day on the website. So if for no other reason, drag yourself to thepoliticalcesspool.org to get a load of my wife on our wedding day. My goodness. Let me tell you something. We were talking about women earlier in the show. I wouldn't be half the man I am today if it were not for my wife and the support that she has given me and the help she has given me. There would be no political cesspool without her. I'm telling you, you know, God had it right. Mother's Day is tomorrow. Ah, perfect reminder. Yes, indeed. Mother's Day tomorrow. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. And if you are lucky enough to still have your mother, let her know how much you love her tomorrow and send her a card, send her some flowers. Go visit her if you can. And I will be doing the same. I'll be seeing my parents tomorrow morning at church. And anyway, happy to have you all. You know, we're facing dire straits, but let me tell you something. This thing is not lost yet, not so long as we stick together, and we have a great familial bond here in the political cesspool, our audience, and I am just so happy to be the host of this show. It's an honor that I hope will continue for a long, long time. For the rest of my crew, I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week. God bless you, everybody, and good night.
Make a donation to keep this program on the air. Go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.